Welcome to Living Extraordinary with Bishop John Guns and the St. Paul Church. Prepare your heart now to be blessed by today's message.
The enemy despises churches that believe. The enemy despises churches that believe. He doesn't want you to believe. Because when you believe, you don't lose. So they were convinced that Jesus was Lord. They were convinced that the apostles were his ordained representatives. But here's the other thing. They were convinced that his church was ordained for them. They believed that his church was ordained for them. They believed that his church was ordained for them. They believed that his church was ordained for them. They believed that by connecting to this thing that was known as the ecclesia, they believed that by connecting to the church, that they were a part of his will and his purpose. They were so convinced that this was God. They were so convinced until they left their tradition of Judaism and they tapped in, Milton, to this thing called the way. They were so sold out and bought in. God, I'm trying to talk y'all into this thing. They were so sold out and bought in until the Jonah, you couldn't talk them out of it. They believed it, and they believed it so strongly until every sacrifice was within the boundaries. Wouldn't it be amazing if there was nothing God couldn't ask you to do? But wouldn't it be a something if you were so convinced until there ain't no boundaries? Listen. Everybody know I'm a sports fan. Everybody know I had a great weekend. I had a great weekend. Oh, the Lord heard every prayer. I thought I prayed. Yeah. On Sunday, the Jags won. Yes, sir. But don't get it twisted. I'm still a Cowboys fan, and we won. Bless his name. The Red Sox won. We playing right now. This is how committed I am to y'all. We playing the Yankees, and I ain't looked at my phone yet. I'm so focused. I ain't looked at my phone yet. I get notifications. Ain't nothing came up, so it must be 0-0. Right? We won, but the Eagles lost, bless his name. The Redskins lost, Holy Ghost, thank you. And we beat the Giants, bless him. Don't drop your head, Ray, stay in the room. You're still the Super Bowl champs, just stay in the room, right? So Sunday was a great day, but you know what's funny? Nobody in Jaguar Stadium believed they were gonna win till the game was over. Because we kept kind of waiting on Tom. Don't act like I was the only one that wasn't looking at the game. And as soon as they got soon as they got that turnover, you ain't go, oh, here we go. And you get that, here we go. Right? Because you just knew. I'm a Cowboys fan. I ain't believe we were going to win. I kept expecting Dak to look like Romo. Right? Because I ain't convinced. Shonda, I wasn't convinced. But when the game was over, I act like I was. Milton, my football guy, he don't text me till the football season. So Milton texts me, how y'all looking? I said, I don't know. Right? Because I didn't believe we could win, even though I was cheering for us to win. Y'all ain't got it. Some of y'all want God to heal you, but you don't believe he can. Yeah. But it don't stop you from praising.
Okay.
Okay, y'all ain't got it. You praise because you're at least trying to act like you believe. But when you really get by yourself, you say, God don't never do nothing big for me. But I need you to look at yourself and say, he loves me so much. If he's doing big stuff, he's doing it with me too. You got to be so convinced that he ain't playing favorites. And if he got favorites, I'm one of them. So if you're not convinced that God moves in your church, you don't press your way to do anything but come conveniently. So now for some of you who work all day, but you're going to come to church on Tuesday, you convinced now that something good happens for me. Am I making sense here? Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. We're moving. Watch this. So because they were convinced that Jesus was Lord, that the apostles were ordained, that the church was ordained, this is how convinced believers look. First thing, you ready? Convinced believers. This is how they look. You're taking notes. Here's how convinced believers look. Convinced believers readily embrace accountability. What's powerful about convinced believers is that they readily embrace accountability. Convinced believers don't struggle with accountability because it comes with how much they believe in it. How many of y'all were in the military? Okay, good. All y'all in the military, well, the first thing they tried to do was to make you not be you that came in. And they put you through something called what? Basic training or what else? Boot camp, whatever it is, basic training, boot camp. And the goal of it was to break you and remake you, right? Was to make you. What branch of service? Navy Air Force, right? Milton Navy. Army. She said that bold, didn't he? Army. Say something else, see what I do to you. How about you? Army. Milton. Not Milton. Melvin. You in the Army? Okay, all right. This is not a competition. There's always one. There's always one. I saw another hand go up. Emily, yeah. Okay. Top that joke. You just quit. She stayed. Breon. Navy, okay. So, watch this. Did you ever in the military meet somebody that you knew you ain't want to go to war with them? You could look at them, AJ, and go, man, if we got in trouble, I'm dead because you ain't helping. As soon, come in, Joe. Come in, Joe. As soon as they start shooting, you're going to be like, okay. Yeah. Right? And you let them take all the blows, right? And so you ain't want to go to war with them because you knew they had no hero in them. They had no accountability to this. They didn't believe in the creed, the code, or the requirement to be in this service. So you knew that if it came time to go to battle, they weren't with you. Because whatever basic training and boot camp was supposed to do, they didn't get it. How many believers ain't got it yet? So guess what, Tiffany? Guess what, Alexis? Guess what, y'all? Guess what, y'all? Guess what, right? The pastor has spent more time correcting folk, which means some folk after 20 years still in boot camp. Once you become a leader, I shouldn't have to tell you but once, what you're supposed to do as a leader, right? Because Denise, a part of what has happened, here's the revelation, is people, when they're not convinced, they don't like accountability. They want to be able to do whatever they want to do and stay a part of it. When I was pledging Kappa, there were certain things we all had to go through. See, back then, you actually pledged above ground. And what that meant was, today, they don't do the stuff that we used to do. So when we went online, everybody had to get their hair shaved. And one of my line brothers, a guy named Joy Power, God rest his soul, he gone. I'm not sure he went to be with the Lord, but I know he died. I mean, I'm not really sure. I'm not sure. I ain't going to lie. I tried to help him. Yeah, I tried to help him. Okay, no, don't do that. He dead. That you wrong. That you wrong for that. You wrong for that. Now I got to go home and repent. I don't know if that man made it. I should have done better. I guess you'd done better. Y'all, I guess I ain't do my job. Right? He my frat brother. I love him. I miss him. Y'all wrong. Y'all laughing at the wrong stuff. Y'all need Jesus in this house. Right? They need him back. So y'all messed up my story. So Joey had, like, back then, waves was what you went after. Right? Right? Let me see. No, you just black. No waves. But you did you used to have waves? Did you? Man, my waves were so nice. If you got near me, you drowned. People walked up to me doing like this. You know what, Yada? It really bothers me that you don't believe me. I know you said something about me in your head and outwardly. That's fine. Right? So Joey had beautiful hair. He had Indian in his family. So that's what we say. You know, you got good hair, you got Indian, right? He had Indian in his family. So he had this real nice wavy hair. Right? Had this beautiful wavy hair. His stuff was tight. People complimented Joey on his hair. But in order to be a Kappa, he had to get a haircut. And I remember the night we all sat in that room and he was getting haircuts and it came to Joey. And Joey sat there and cried. He did. It was a mess. I said, ooh, he's vain. It was horrible. And Sean, they cutting his hair. He just had just coming off. All that pretty hair coming off. And when they took and when they shaved him bald, and I looked at this dude. I said, ooh. I tried to put his hair back. I went on the floor. Said, you need your hair back on. You are not attractive without hair. Right? And it was funny. It was funny. Joey and I was joking one day, right? And we were online. I said, boy, look at you. You ain't got no hair. And here the dude said to me, it was the most amazing statement from a dude that I didn't think was coming. He said, as much as I love my hair, I want to be a Kappa more. So if it required a cut, then I was willing to give it up. Y'all ain't got it. As much as I like being who I want to be a Christian. I want to be a part of the church that is Koinonia. So what does it require of me to be Koinonia? Come on here. I love being an individual, but I love more being with you. And so what does it take for me and BJ to stay connected? What does it take for me and Scott Cotton to stay connected? Oh, I got to forgive him. I'm going to do it. Oh, I got to ask for forgiveness. I'm going to do it. Oh, I got to make sure he ain't hungry. I'm going to do it. Whatever it requires. And here's what I'm discovering. Folk want church, but they don't want Koinonia, because church ain't no work. Church is when you want to come. Koinonia is when you need me to come. Church is that I'll sit there and give you $2. Koinonia is, if you need anything, come on, Cynthia, you did it today. I will sacrifice for the vision, because I don't want to be just church. I want to be Koinonia. When you're convinced, and this is what's lacking, Kyrie, what's lacking? What's lacking, James? It's accountability. So I don't make no sacrifices. In fact, I ask for permission to break the rules. Let me tell y'all something. And I want you to hear this from my heart. If you gotta ask to not do what you're supposed to do, that meant you never wanted to do it. You just want the leader to not mess with you. If you know that you're supposed to be somewhere and you ask, can you not be there? Uh-oh, y'all don't like me. If you say, Bishop, I can't make it, is that all right with you? Negro, you had already decided you won't come in. What you asking me, can you not come when you already have scheduled? You just want me to know that you ain't coming. So I can't say nothing. See, here's the pain of Koinonia. The pain of Koinonia is that once you get past the warm, fuzzy, huggy feelings and you get into the accountability thing, you find yourself, see the old saints, see people like Henrietta came from the old church. The old church, the old saints made Jesus first. And if Jesus was first, that meant their church had to be somewhere up there. Man, listen, all y'all know the stories I tell about my mama making me miss baseball. You know, right now, I would be playing for the Red Sox if it wasn't for my mama. I wouldn't be here with y'all. I would be in Yankee Stadium right now batting cleanup. If my mama had made me miss them games, telling me you're going to be a preacher, you ain't going to be no baseball player. She made me become a preacher by telling me I can't. And I would be right now, I would be hitting a home run right now against your beloved Yankees. But my mama thought that this church thing was my future. I'm saying a lot of stuff jokingly because I'm trying to take the steam off this thing. Because if I taught it with no, listen, if I taught it with no juice, it would be too castor oil for some of y'all. And that's why some people ain't here tonight. Because something in their spirit said, I can't go in there and listen to Bishop tonight. Because this is castor oil night. Because this is really about, Callaway, when you decide that you're going to serve Jesus so much and so deep and you're so committed to this Koinonia thing until all of a sudden you establish priorities, and it starts with him and it ends with me. And that's hard for this generation. You want to know what's tough about teaching the Bible, Sister Coleman? It's tough teaching the Bible, Kelly, today. Clea, it's tough teaching the Bible, Curly. You want to know why? Because, Marcy, the Bible has very few people who live it like that. Because this Koinonia thing, the more I get into it, I ain't just skimming over them verses no more. I'm getting stuck, AJ, at that whole, and they gave all this stuff away. And can I be like totally real and transparent? I'm struggling with that. I'm hoping my prayer life don't bring me to that. When the Lord say to me, sell all everything, your cars, everything. And I'm going to go home to Sister Guns and say, hey, you've been wanting this house for a while. And the Lord said, we got to sell it. And I know what she's going to say. If the Lord said it, you do what the Lord said. Then about a week later, where we going to live? We going to live where he tell us. Alexis, move over. We sleeping next to y'all. Move over. Move over. Well, why don't you and Clark go in and sleep on the clout? Couch, right? See, listen, here's what's scary, Aaron. Here's what's scary, man. Is this Koinonia thing brings you to something that most people don't want? It's called accountability. It's called paying the price. Okay, all right, I'll show it to you. Let me find it. Let me find it. Let me find it. Mark chapter, let's say 10. But it may not be 10. I know I'm in the ballpark though. Here we go. Yeah, Mark chapter 10. There's a man that comes to Jesus wanting to be saved. Verse 21. And Jesus looked straight, Mark 10, and Jesus looked straight at him with love and said, you need only one thing. Go and do what? Oh, Jesus. And do what? So you're going to sell everything you got and become who you're giving it to. Okay. Y'all didn't miss that, right? I'm going to sell everything I have and give it to folk that now I'm going to look like the ones I'm giving it to. I'm going to look poor so they ain't poor no more. We call that Jesus. I never saw it like that. And you will have riches in where? That don't look like that's coming right away. And then come, uh-oh. So now I'm going to switch the weight of provision on him. Somebody just got it. I'm going to switch the weight of provision on him. Watch this. Y'all ready for a major revelation?
Because the moment I get rid of what I've been depending on, I'm going to need him to be what I'm going to him for. I'm going to you to be Lord, but you ain't going to be Lord till I stop depending on other stuff to be source. So I'm going to have to trust you the moment I stop trusting me. The moment I stop trusting me and I start trusting you, I'm no longer in charge of what I get, but you're in charge of what I have. And since you control birds and flowers, you got me.
You want to know what's really deep about this? Is when you follow Jesus to this level, you are never broke. And you ain't never scared. Because he keeps making a way. I need somebody in this room who knows that the Lord will not let you down to find somebody, look them in the eye, and tell them, look at evidence that he won't. No, if you can't make them look at you, then you don't know. You need to be, but I need you to tell somebody, take a good look. I'm evidence he won't. Whoo, God. It may be a few, but they ought to be a holler like it's 10,000. Take a good look. Shatabashe. Take a good look. No, you need to find somebody. If you got to look across the room, tell them, look good. And since you look it good, look at this. I used to be young, but now that I'm old, I've never. Whew. Koinonia is about accountability. And so many people lack accountability. And accountability is whatever his standard is. I'll give you another one. And I'll close with this. Convinced believers are inspired to give and serve once they become aware of the need. I said this on Sunday, and I'm led of the Holy Ghost to say it again. Convinced believers are inspired to give and serve once they become aware of the need. We listen, God told me when I leave this church as pastor, this church will be worth a minimum of $10 million. Say, what we will own and control in this neighborhood, we will be worth $10 million. My first 22 years here looked like nothing but debt was being accumulated. And now God is starting to drop stuff in our lap. I mean, he's dropping it in our lap. We got a triplex for $1,500. It ain't in great shape, but it's valued at $100,000 once it's cleaned up. And he dropped it in our lap. A fraternity brother of mine gave it to the church, and we only had to pay for the taxes. Now God done opened another door. I can't tell you about it yet because we got to go through a process, but he opened another door. And what's crazy is the door he opened is so big. It's so big. And it's right in this neighborhood. And he just dropped it. I mean, the board was talking about we need to generate revenue. And I get a call yesterday from a lady, dropped it right in our lap. Turnkey opportunity. Here's God. He gonna keep his word. Okay, I'm gonna say it again. He gonna keep his word.
But every opportunity is going to require a response from the people. So when you lack koinonia, you are not inspired to give. You are not inspired to serve. So I'll stand up and I'll say, hey, y'all, listen, I need everybody to give $100 and we can take care of this by Sunday. And some people say, hey, Bishop, I can't help you. I can't. I ain't got it. You didn't even try. You didn't think about it. You just immediately rejected it. Because what you don't get is koinonia is about the inspiration to participate. We stand up and we say, we got books and burgers, and we need y'all to do, we need y'all to serve. Some people say, Thursday's a bad day for me. Didn't even think about whether you could. Well, I got other stuff I do on Thursdays. Didn't even think about it. And it's crazy trying to teach this to people because people say, I got a life outside of church. Why I gotta make me feel bad for not doing church 7 days a week? Nobody asked you to do church 7 days a week. We asked you to do church faithfully. Are y'all listening? And there's a difference. Someone said that. There's a difference. When you're faithful, it ain't 7 days, but you're available 7 days. Does that make sense? You ain't going to be here 7 days, but you're available when you need it. Why? Because I hear the need. What did John F. Kennedy say? Don't ask what your country can do for you. Ask what you do for your country. And so what happens in Koinonia, watch this, and I go back here, Henrietta and Joe, to the old church. What happens, Ken, is that in the old church, Carla, them saints would hear the need. That old pastor would stand up and say, I need the saints to do something. And man, before you knew it, listen, I'm going to show you this in the word. And then we're going to go. Everybody turn to 1 Chronicles 29. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Everybody turn to 1 Chronicles 29. This is the spirit of Koinonia. And then we're going to go. Gifts for the building of the temple. King David announced to the whole assembly, 1 Chronicles 29, verse 1. King David announced to the whole assembly, my son Solomon is the one whom God has chosen, but he's still young and lacks experience. The work to be done is tremendous because this is not a palace for people, but a temple for the Lord God. I've made every effort to prepare materials for the temple, gold, silver, bronze, iron, timber, precious stones, jewels, stones for mosaics and quantities of marble. Over and above this, I have provided. I have given silver and gold for my personal property because of my what? Come on, guys. Because of my what? For what?
This has been Living Extraordinary with Bishop John Guns. Join us Sundays in worship at 3738 Winton Drive, Jacksonville, Florida, 32208. Visit us online at www.spmbcjacks.org for service times and more.